Tonight I take from my text the section in Luke's Gospel, the 13th chapter, which is the Gospel reading today for the Novus Ordo Mass, where the unnamed person approaches Jesus with a question. And it's a sort of a general question, you might say, about religion, almost as if he's doing research about people. And the question, first of all, is, Lord, will only a few people be saved? And the question is about something that's so important. It's about eternity. It's about eternal salvation. And a reminder, you know, he has that grasp that the human person is a spiritual being. The human person is more than just a collection of material things and instincts and all of those things, but there's something greater than that about us. And hopefully we all sense that. We know that, that spiritual dimension, that we are spiritual beings. And yet, there are many people who apparently don't think about their spiritual aspect. They don't think beyond the material. What happens to me when I die? Is death the end? If it's not, well, what comes after death? All of these very basic spiritual questions that so many people don't seem to deal with. And how can people not do that? I don't understand it. And the fact that you're here says, you know, you're obviously thinking about these things, you know, the spiritual, the realities. But as again, there are many people who just don't seem to do it. I have shared this story over the years, but I always come back to it when I get to this subject, when I think about it. Some years ago, a parishioner coming to me concerned about that someone they knew was dying, a man was dying. And he had no known religion. And so this parishioner was wondering and concerned for his soul, and would he like to see a priest, perhaps, at this point. And so the parishioner went to talk to the man's wife about it. And so says the wife said, well, I don't know. And she said, well, your husband, does he believe in God? And this is the part that gets me. It's like, I think they've been married something like 30 years. She said, I don't know. I don't know. How do you live with someone for 30 years and you don't know if they believe in God or not? What do you do? What do you talk about? What do you think about? You talk about the weather, the neighbors, your aches and pains, your next trip, the noise the car's making, the price of cat food, but never about God in 30 years. I can't grasp it, but it's, you know, that's true. I believe that story. This is the culture in which we live. And we do live forever. We believe that ardently. And we have a connatural grasp of that. And not only us. Every time and every period of history has that grasp that we are made to live forever. Even prehistory, you know, they go to the prehistoric or excavations and they've come to tombs and people are, their remains are there and little implements to take with them into the next life, tools for the journey or things that they might want on the journey into eternity. It's like everybody has this connatural grasp of that. We could put that in very philosophical terms, as we mention sometimes at funerals, the great mind of St. Thomas Aquinas. You know, Thomas said, no natural appetite is ever in vain. We have thirst because there really is water. We get hungry because there really is food. Everybody yearns to live forever because we're made to live forever. We really do. We want to be with our loved ones and in the state of love forever, and because we're made that way. And it's a natural common appetite, and it corresponds to something real. And as that, and sometimes I'll mention at funerals, we maybe have a lot of non-believers or non-practicing people. I said, you know, we believers live in a rational universe. We don't go through all of life, loving life, and wanting to live forever, only to die, and that's it. We live in a rational universe with faith. Now, I mentioned St. Thomas, the great philosopher, and I also give an image I've shared over the years that's not so philosophical, but it goes back to my father's boyhood here in Stella Maris, where he grew up, and the priest was Father Fleming, and he would quote Father Fleming. This would be in the 1920s. When Father Fleming gave them this image, he said, just go down to the beach on Sullivan's Island and think about a bird coming out of the sky once every 100 years to get a grain of sand off the beach and take it to heaven. Well, when the whole beach is gone, eternity will have just begun. We can't comprehend it. But my father remembered that, so it was maybe a helpful image. The second part thought here is not just a question, Lord, are they few who are to be saved, but the answer. And the answer is interesting because the Lord changes sort of this general question about people in general, you know, are they few to be saved, and to something very direct and personal. And he speaks to the questioner and says, you, he doesn't say you, but he implies it, strive to enter through the narrow gate. He speaks in the second person. He addresses, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. One commentator on the gospel said that the verb that's translated strive to enter through the narrow gate could be translated keep on striving, keep on trying. And that's certainly a message for our time. It's in many ways a time when people don't have final goals. We're in this culture that's simply many people have grown up in living just trying to organize life around various needs and wants with no real ultimate principles to order it. And so sometimes you get conflicting needs and wants in groups. And this is where you get these people forming into identity politics, you know, this group and the acrimony and the division. They can't live in the chaos of not having an order, just kind of living day to day around their concerns and needs. And so, you know, some people might end up in gangs. Some people might end up co-opted, radicalized through the internet, all of these different things. And some of you may see where this is going. You know, for like the last 3 weeks, I've been mentioning Jordan Peterson, the Canadian psychotherapist who is writing about these things and getting a lot of response and attention from young adults. And these are some of the things he talks about, the need for final goals, ultimates. And the Lord's answer is very much the same, strive. Keep on striving. Keep on striving through the narrow door. And that could be something that Jordan Peterson would put it this way, have a goal, an ultimate goal, an end, a purpose. And not just for self, but for everybody you love. Know what their ultimate goal and their purpose is. And of course, that is the ultimate goal we're made for, the true, the good, and the beautiful. Those are the attributes of God. To have the ultimate goal, then everything falls into place. Everything falls into proper order. And it does away with the chaos in the culture. Everything's in its proper order. Does this lead me to my ultimate goal? Does it lead my loved ones to their ultimate goal or not? And then there's an ordered life with the highest good. And so it's not about just being good. It's about being our best and striving for the best and the highest. Keep striving, the gospel says. And by God's grace, what we hope to do is get to that best version of ourselves in the plan and in the eyes of God.